language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And here he is, Michael Savage, live across America. I don't know that I can be that exciting tonight. Thank God I drank an energy drink before the show, because what a day it's been. What a day it's been. Unbelievable. I knew the bell would ring the minute the show started. My dog would bark. You see, it's Halloween evening, the night that the little candy junkies come running around. There it is. I'm in a little house doing a radio show, one of my home studios. And you'd think my assistant would tape the dog's mouth shut, but no, he doesn't think of that. Instead, we have to put up with the dog barking. And that's why I tell you, I needed the energy drink. It's a wonderful night for the little pagans to run around. Thank God it's raining out there. But we have the storm on the East Coast. And we on the West Coast and the west of the Hudson don't realize how disastrous this storm really is. In fact, looking at the pictures that we see on the website, we see the disaster is phenomenal. It's awesome. And yet north of a certain street, 36th or 39th in Manhattan, it's business as usual. Restaurants are full. South, disaster zone. But, you know, as Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go unused. And they're not letting it go unused. The ignorant demagogues like Mayor Bloomberg and the strange Andrew Cuomo, who's called the Nixon of New York State, have come out and they said that there's no question that Sandy was clear proof of climate change. There we see ignorance and demagoguery of the worst kind. Why do I say that? I'm not a climate scientist. I'm trained in science, trained in botany. It doesn't make me a climate scientist, but I can read literature. I can read science. I'll rely upon real climatologists to tell us whether or not the devastating superstorm Sandy was related to climate change. Cuomo, the demagogue that he is, said the following: anyone who says there's not a dramatic change in weather patterns, I think, is denying reality, said Cuomo. Then he went on, he dug his heels in, he said, what is clear is that the storms that we've experienced in the last year or so around this country and around the world are much more severe than before. Well, Bloomberg, of course, the anti-soda man, agreed. But scientists, as opposed to politicians, say the evidence is far less concrete than these demagogues appear to believe. Martin Horling, a meteorologist with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which is a governmental agency, and is he a brave man? No doubt he'll lose his job for being a true scientist instead of a Pinocchio for them. He said Sandy wasn't boosted by global warming. He said the storm merely revealed natural forces at work. Here's what he said. This is a real scientist. Neither the frequency of tropical or extratropical cyclones over the North Atlantic are projected to appreciably change due to climate change. He said great events can have little causes, he told the New York Times. In this case, the immediate cause is most likely little more than the coincidental alignment of a tropical storm with an extratropical storm. He said rather than fueling the storm, he said climate change has little to no effect upon hurricanes. You hear this? And yet it didn't stop New York Gov Cuomo and Mayor Mike Bloomberg to say that it was related to climate change. It didn't stop the lying Al Gore to say that the storm was caused by dirty energy. And so you have to understand that you're being manipulated by these political liars who are trying to cash in on a terrible event. Now, there's no question I can ask you, nor do I intend to. I'm not interested in whether you think the storm was caused by global warming. It's irrelevant what you think. It's not what you think. It's what scientists know to be real, not what politicians say. Now I'll get to a topic that I can ask you a question about, and you can call me if I had the phone number in front of me, which I forgot already. 855-400-SAVAGE. I've switched studios to make certain I'd be bothered by little candy addicts. I've come down to the smallest studio I own to make certain the candy addicts bother me and the dog barks before the show. I also can't see your calls because the screen is too small. My assistant didn't put the size of the font large enough for me to even read the callers, so that's another blowout. It's one thing after another. The phone number is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Here's a topic that I would like to ask you about, and that is the outrageous images of the rotund, Jackie Gleason-esque governor of New Jersey marching around with the president of the United States. Now, you may say, well, okay, that shows that he's bipartisan, that Governor Christie is able to reach across the aisle. I don't know about reaching across the aisle. Some people have written me emails and ask really odd questions about the Christie-Obama love affair. I do find it rather odd. Not that the governor of New Jersey would be working with the president. That's kind of reasonable in a way, on one hand, because what he's looking for is this. He probably did a deal with Obama that went along these lines. He said to Obama, if you agree to tour New Jersey, I'll tour with you. If you agree to give us a huge, huge sum of money, you know, for basically a bailout for the damage, I will put my arm around you if I can reach you. If I could somehow get an arm around you at all. It's very hard to see how Christie could get his arm around anything but a meatloaf sandwich. And he said, if you give me the money, I'll, you know, blah, blah, and the people will vote for you and you'll win. That's what people are saying to me. What they're saying is that Christie is so Machiavellian that he wants Obama to be reelected so that he could run in 2016 as a Republican candidate. Now, that's a question that I can ask the audience. That's something that's opinion. Global warming is not an opinion. It's based on science. And the scientists say the storm, in this case, had nothing to do with climate change. Nothing. But as far as Christie embracing Obama, that's for you to decide. So I'm going to ask you again. Do you think, how do you feel about, rather, Christie embracing Obama so completely? It's not as though he reached out and they kind of, you know, worked together. No, no, no. These pictures went beyond that. And as you well know, the demagogues that we call politicians do nothing that's not calculated 5,000 times in advance with focus groups. Christie wanted you to see him with Obama for a couple of reasons. One of which is that he wants a big sum of money from Obama for the damage to New Jersey. The second point may be, in fact, and this is pure speculation, that Christie wants Obama to get reelected, taking the few swing voters around the country. They see the darling of the conservative movement. He's one of the darlings. Embracing Obama. Suddenly Obama doesn't have horns. Suddenly Obama's a human being. Suddenly they both look reasonable and serious. Do you think Christie could be doing this to shaft Romney and so that he can run in 2016? I'd like to hear your opinion on it. The phone number, 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 1-855. I forget the digits. I swear I don't have it in front of me. Doug, maybe you can write it out for me in the next 10 minutes. Does anyone have the... Oh, there it is. 1-855-400-7282. There it is, right in front of me. I need a magnifying glass to read the message board on the tele screen. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take the first caller. West Palm Beach, Florida. Brian on my old station down there. Lovely station. The land of the perennial early bird. No, he's gone. He dropped. He had a rush to the early bird to fill up the sack. KSFO, Gerhardt, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Ah, you're a sweeter. Hey,
I remember you from 15 years ago on KSFO. You're still around?
They can't get rid of me. Let me tell you something.
You used to be one of my favorite callers. How are you? So what are you calling about?
Global warming. You know, let me tell you this. If Joseph Goebbels were to get out of the grave, he would be pleased as punch to see the massive propaganda effort going around the whole world, especially if you listen to the BBC, on this catastrophic climate.
Let's be clear. There's a fortune. There are fortunes being made in the global warming fantasy. The warmists are behind the fake green companies. They have been handsomely rewarded by the first green president, who is Barack Obama. And believe me, they've all put a lot of green into their bank accounts. You know that, Gerhardt.
And that's what the United Nations wants with this. They're pushing this.
I know. But what about this? Look, here's a storm that hits the East Coast. It's a devastating storm. Horrible. Millions are without power. And right away, the demagogue Cuomo and the demagogue Bloomberg, Mr. Soda, pop out and say that it's proof of climate change when leading scientists at NOAA say absolutely no relationship whatsoever to climate change.
Yes, Stuart, they're glad to see this storm because it gets everybody's eye off of Benghazi Gate. All right?
That's right.
These ambassadors over there, the security chief over there, I don't know who else all over there, they said, send us help, send us people, send us somebody, and nobody sent them nothing.
Well, I know. Look, Libya Gate is the big story, and if ever you had contempt for people in the media before, you should have triple contempt now for what they become. They're nothing but Lilliputians. They're all Lilliputians, no matter how handsome they may be. They're empty suits. But where's the outrage about Libya Gate since the caller brought it up? Remember Trayvon Martin? Remember the poor young man, the sweet, innocent little 13-year-old Trayvon Martin who was going on 20? Remember the media showed you pictures of him in the church when he was 13, when he was really a 20-year-old gangbanger? Remember they turned him into a boy who cried for help? But it was actually his victim who was having his head bashed in against the concrete by Trayvon Martin. They turned it around. And yet liberals were outraged, ready to bring down the country because of the injustice, how poor Trayvon Martin was left to die like that when he was calling out for help. Really, how come they're not interested in the folks in Libya who were calling out for help? And, of course, the president said, why, if I had a boy, he'd look just like Trayvon. And America then said, well, we have to stand up for the victims, not turn its back on a poor boy like Trayvon Martin. That's what the president said then. But he's awfully silent about the dead ambassador and the other individuals who died trying to save people out there. Where's the outrage? It's called double talk, hypocrisy, etc. And so, as I say to you, look, one of the reasons that I stay in talk radio, why I do this at all, is that the media has become the lapdog of the Democrat press, of the Democrat machine, and the whole purpose of the Fourth Estate is to be the watchdog for the people, not the lapdog. And we are the few people left who are the watchdogs for the people, those of us in talk radio, who see the truth and tell you like it is. I'm telling you, this is a nightmare to see how they are in the pocket of Obama with Libya Gate. So if you care to talk about any of these two topics, the phone number is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
The one I adore.
Will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time.
It is a little bump and grind for Halloween evening on the Savage Nation. So a friend of mine, he's a physicist, a good friend of mine, Dr. Jack Sarfati, sent a question to me tonight before the show. And I'll tell you the truth, it's an interesting one. He said, is Christie backstabbing Romney to get Obama elected so he, Christie, can be president in 2016? And that got your attention. Because, look, I kept looking at the pictures all day long of Christie and Obama, Christie and Obama, Obama, Christie. And there was a certain collegiality that went beyond the norm that kept attracting my attention. Not so much that Christie is, you know, it's almost like the stereotype of the fat and skinny had a race all around the pillowcase. It wasn't just that. But there is such a disparity in physical appearance between the two men that unto itself it attracts your attention. But then the disparity, that alleged disparity in their politics, had me saying, wait a minute, okay, they're coming together because there's a storm that caused devastation across the state. It makes sense. He reached across the aisle, but there was something a little too, you know, reaching across the aisle here. Or am I just overreading this? You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, we know Christie needs, what, hundreds of millions of dollars of federal aid to fix New Jersey's, clean up the damage. And if he doesn't play ball with Obama, he's going to get starved and he's liable to lose the governorship. So, okay, on that point, he had to reach across the aisle. But there's something a little too cozy about it, or do you think that we're wrong about that one? Let's take some callers on it, then we'll go on. How's that? Las Vegas, Nevada. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been following Chris Christie, and the man is into green energy, and he hates coal. He has a special dislike for it, and 50% of our country has their energy generated by coal.
Now, why is Christie such a warmist? Where'd that come from? What, did he get it from the barbecues he's gone to?
I don't know, but there's something.
Think that they, when he eats a side of beef, you think they heat it up with green energy or with coal? With briquettes?
The more I found out about his energy policy, it's lunatic.
You ought to spend a little more energy on the treadmill. Look, I'm not going to make fat jokes. They're easy to make. The fact of the matter is something's wrong with the picture when he is a little too cozy with Obama, because Christie is the darling of the conservative movement. Isn't he not? Doesn't he have a good reputation?
Not anymore, I'll tell you.
Not anymore. I've seen that. Yeah, see, now that's the real subtext of this conversation. Christie moved away from his hard positions a while ago, didn't he?
Yeah, about 6 months ago, I started another
Yes, that's right. So it comes back again to my friend's question. Is Christie possibly sabotaging Romney because he wants to run in 2016? He knows if Romney wins, which he's liable to do, Romney's a two-termer, right?
Michael, you filled in the missing piece. I felt the backstabbing that when I heard the reports, I haven't actually looked at the pictures, but just the feel of it, it was like he was backstabbing Romney. And I was trying to figure out why on earth would he do that? And you're saying so
Mark, are you a new listener to The Savage Nation or an old-timer?
You gave me a book, Michael, about 10 years ago. I'm as hardcore a fan as you'll ever have.
Well, thank God you found me again in my new time slot on The Savage Nation. Good, I'm glad you're a hardcore fan. No, last night I went to a local restaurant after the show, and people came up. They were so happy that I'm back on KSFO in San Francisco. They had listened to me on and off. But, you know, if you can't hear a person on a station that's good, you know, you don't want to listen anymore. It's unpleasant. I'm so happy to be back on these great stations, KLIF. I can name them all. I mean, there's 142 stations that I'm on, and it's growing. But the point is, it's a pleasure to be back on in my home market. I feel connected to my audience again. I had pizza. I had beer. Put on weight. I was trying to become, I got as close to Christie. I was trying to, like, channel Christie into my being last night as quickly as I could to see if I could understand the man's embracing of Obama. So I ate as much pizza and drank as much beer as I could as quickly as I could. And I was up all night, frankly. I couldn't figure it out. But something's wrong with that picture. It's The Savage Nation.
You're the girl I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see? You're the only girl.
Is Christie backstabbing Romney to get Obama reelected so he, Christie, can be president in 2016? It's a valid question. I realize that many of you are going to be shocked to believe that politicians would think that way. However, knowing politicians, they think only of their own career. And why wouldn't he shaft Romney? If Romney wins, Christie's finished. If Romney loses, Christie rises. So why? Why wouldn't he? And it's a twofer for him, because he gets more money for federal reconstruction, right? Look, yesterday on the show, remember I opened the show with the following? I ran into a 30-year-old liberal relative, a young lady, who voted for Barack Obama in 08. And we talked about dogs and food and family, and some of the discussion turned to the upcoming election. And then out of nowhere, this young lady said, Obama will lose. And I said, why? And she said to me, he's done nothing and the economy is still stalled. So I said to myself, I guess it's still basically bread and butter issues. So I said to her, what about Libya? She said, what happened in Libya? Doesn't know about it because of the quislings in the U.S. media. The American people, even the intelligent ones, don't even know that this president has abrogated his responsibilities as commander-in-chief and as president. So then I turned in and I said, well, what do you think of Romney? And I looked at her very carefully. She had a pleasant look on her face, and she said this. She said, well, he's okay, and he's certainly not the old man McCain was, who I feared might die in office when I voted for Obama in 08. Then she added, but I wish Republicans were not so against abortion and gay marriage, because frankly, as a woman, I'm for abortion, I'm for gay marriage. And you know, that's the entire zeitgeist of this election. The Democrats have tried to paste that on the Republicans, make it all about basically abortion and gay marriage. I let it go, I didn't talk about it. But the point of the story is that even a Democrat is saying Obama will lose. And they know nothing about Benghazi Gate, Libya Gate, whatever you want to call it. A little later on in the show, we're going to play a soundbite from Newsmax where a CIA veteran, Scheuer, who's very good, Michael Scheuer, I had him on my show years ago, he says Benghazi is worse than Watergate. It's worse than Watergate. They were watching it in real time. They saw our people dying and screaming for help, and they turned their backs on them. Frankly, it's a great big story that we're going to talk about, but I want to go back to the curious question of Christie, Obama, and Romney and see what you think about that, as well as the fact that real scientists, as opposed to demagogues like Bloomberg and Governor Cuomo, who immediately jumped in on the, oh, it's global warming. Liars, demagogues. Because here's a scientist, a real meteorologist from NOAA. Remember, he works for the federal government. And he said there's no relationship. He said, in the immediate cause is most likely little more than the coincidental alignment of a tropical storm with an extratropical storm. He said, indeed, rather than fueling the storm, climate change has little to no effect upon hurricanes. But it didn't stop Bloomberg nor Cuomo from trying to capitalize on it, right? So if you want to talk about any of these topics, the phone number is 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Let's take the first caller out of FTL, Florida. Blind Eagle, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, how you doing? I just want to thank you for the book you sent me on the your trickle-down tyranny. But my theory is, I think since the Constitution says that the governor can stall the election, I think Chris Christie's going to stall the election in this state.
I read the law on the show yesterday. The states have the power to delay an election owing to extraordinary circumstances. Do you think Christie's going to do that?
I don't know. It sounds kind of crazy. I mean, I don't like Bloomberg too much myself, but Bloomberg didn't want Obama in the city today.
Here's the problem. New York and New Jersey are in the pocket for Obama anyway, so that theory doesn't hold water in that regard. It's for the other people in flyover country who may think Christie is a conservative, and since he embraces Obama, they should vote for him. You see what I mean? It's not related to the New Yorkers and those in New Jersey who are in the pocket of the Democrat Party. It's bewildering to me how Sopranoville, it's just bewildering to me how all the people who eat mortadella and live in Sopranoville could vote for Obama.
Unless they're a rhino.
They're all in the carting business. And, I don't know, maybe that explains it. They're in green energy. They got into green energy before anybody.
Crispy's a rhino, I think.
Folks in the carting business got into the green energy racket early on. Every time I put, my bottles in one jar with my paper, all I'm saying is all I'm doing is supporting those guys like Tony Soprano. I'm doing their work for them. I'm sorting for them. I do it, but I do it reluctantly. I'm a little upset. You know, when I separate my trash, like the plastic and the bottles go in one and then the paper in the other, I say, why am I sorting for Tony Soprano? Because that's what I'm doing. He's making a fortune on the recycling racket. Right? I mean, who do you think's in the business? You? What a business. Never been better. There's more money in garbage than you could imagine. And so those folks got into the green energy business very early on. Stupid they're not. They're descendants of those who built the roads, you know, from Rome. There used to be a saying in Rome that went like this. All there's the dog again, Halloween. In 2 minutes, I'm going to tape the dog's mouth shut. He has a real tick, the dog. I'm letting you behind the curtain to show you what kind of trouble I have in my life. That even during a radio show with the lights are off, I put a chair in front of the door, and the little junkies, the candy junkies, have to pound on the door. I mean, what do you have to say to these drug addicts running around with sacks on their back? What, are their parents that stupid? I'm going to tell you how bad it is. The parents are stupider than the children. They walk around the streets with martinis in their hand like they're celebrating in outfits. The mothers have like cat things painted on their face. It's an excuse for them to get loaded tonight, walk around with the little, you know, the little candy junkies. I shut the door. I turned off the lights. I put a chair in front of the door. And still the candy junkies come running around and pound on the door. I'm feeling like Scrooge here. I shouldn't be this way. I should be giving them candy, right, and get them sick. Ruin their teeth. Kill their insulin levels. Right, that would make me a normal American. And vote for Obama. Destroy their teeth, give them candy, and let them vote for Obama. Maybe I should have given out Obama buttons with the candy corn. We're going to have to put the dog in the bedroom if he does it one more time. Teddy, you're forewarned. Your agent is going to get a message tomorrow. You know, it's one thing to bark during the act. Rochester, New York. Wham! Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, it's great to talk to you. I'm glad you're back on 50,000 watt station here in Rochester.
Oh, when I hear the word 50,000 watt, you know what that's like to me? That's like 2 4-barrel Weber carburetors when I was 18.
Yeah, 38 states in Canada reaches that. That's what they advertise.
You know, when I was 18 years old, if somebody said I have a car with 2 Weber 4-barrel carburetors, that was the equivalent of saying I'm now on a 50,000 watt station.
Well, he's obviously running.
Yeah, what about the Christie thing? Tell me what you think.
So is Andrew Cuomo, and I think compared to Andrew, I'd rather have Christy, because Christy's a genuine Catholic, and he's solid on the Catholic issues.
So you trust Christy more than Perry Como?
Yes.
But what do you think about Christy embracing Obama? Don't you think it's a little too embracing?
Yes.
No, what's the difference, what do you think? The main thing. All right, look, people have their own viewpoint. Everyone, you see, this is the thing. Everybody has an agenda. And if their ox is gored, they don't like somebody. If their ox is stroked, they like the person. So in that case, because Christy is more kosher, as it were, wrong use of word. Christy is more kosher for the Catholics, even though it's a strange use of words. What you heard from that caller is that Christy is more kosher as a Catholic than Cuomo. That's an interesting use of words, the way I put that together. You have to understand that there's actually a truth in that. Christy is more kosher to Catholics than Cuomo, according to that caller. It's kind of a cute use of words. But I don't know. I mean, I don't have any litmus tests other than borders, language, and culture. See, what do you stand for? Borders, language, culture. Where does Christy stand on that? You think he's any different than Democrats on wanting illegals to vote for him? No. No, I don't know. How about the global warmest, like Al Corleone? What a scam that is. More than 6 million people are still without power, by the way. You know, west of the Hudson, you don't know any of this. I was going to ask another question, which I'll open it up to right now on the Savage Nation. Here I am in San Francisco, cozy. It's raining tonight. We have a storm coming in. So because of the storm, I went down to my boat. I put on extra lines, like double-sized lines on the road. I felt good about it. It was a certain macho feeling. Before the show, went out with the ropes and the wind and tied the boat down. Even though it was tied, I put extra size line, like hurricane lines I put on the boat. It made me feel good leaving and looking back as she sat there bobbing in the wind. I felt good that I put extra lines on my boat, right? Just something men do with their boats, and so it's just a... But then I said, you don't feel the devastation, like the flooded tunnels in New York, hospitals being evacuated. It's a real national emergency. Let's not downplay it. But I was going to ask you this. Let's say you're not in the storm zone. Is your life affected by the storm anyway? Mine is. Why? In addition to being a talk show host, I'm an author. As you know, I've had 6 New York Times bestsellers in a row, and I'm very proud of that. I began as a writer, and I'll die as a writer. And so when I have 6 books in a row, and they're all New York Times bestsellers, including a novel, Abuse of Power, okay, so I'm working on books. I have a book coming out next week called Train Tracks, my memoirs. I cannot reach my publisher. My agent has no phone service. He happens to, I think he lives in Lower Manhattan. He lives down in Wall Street. No cell service. The publishers are not there. No one's there. I don't even know if the books are being shipped. So I'm giving an example, microcosm. Me, Michael Savage, living out on the West Coast. I'm affected by the storm. Are you affected by the storm in any way? Renee, the call screener, will be glad to listen to those of you who would like to talk about these topics right here on the Savage Nation. Phone number is, as usual, 855-400-SAVAGE. You can't get through, though. The lines are sold out. Let's take another quick caller on the Savage Nation right now. Bridgeport, New Jersey. Scott, you're on the Savage Nation in Christie Country. Your opinion, please.
Dr. Savage, I voted for Christie. I was thrilled to have him in here. I think he's doing a great job. We need some seats in the state house to get some things done. But when I saw him put President Obama up on a pedestal yesterday for doing his job, I lost a lot of respect for him. You know darn well he's just looking at 2016.
Okay, so you see, this is an interesting call. You would have expected the New Jersey governor to certainly be friendly to the president at a time like this, right? But you think he went overboard? Is that what we're sensing here?
Overboard. Completely overboard. He's putting him up on a pedestal, and the first thing I thought of was just what you said. If Romney wins, Christie doesn't have a chance. Now he's got a chance to go to the White House, 2016.
Wow. It's like Boardwalk Empire. Sorry to use an analogy. Most people don't even get HBO. But it's that cynical. I mean, Christie's in it for himself. He's an ambitious politician, right? And he said the right things. The people love him because he's so outspoken. But the words you used were better. He put Obama on a pedestal. You see, now that's the difference. He didn't just reach across the aisle. He glorified Obama for doing such a wonderful job. What did Obama do for New Jersey that was so great? He flew in on Air Force One, and what else did he do?
I guess it was too windy to golf.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you did lose a little respect for Christy because of the over-worship.
Pretty disturbed by it.
El Presidente. How's your town from the storm, Scott?
We did pretty darn good. I was scared to death. The attic roof was creaking and lost some trees in the driveway, but we did really good here. Folks up north
Are the candy addicts bothering you tonight, ringing the bell? Did they bother you, or the storm kept them away?
I'm so far deep in the woods, just like that. No one bothers me.
Oh, I see camouflage. I see deliverance. I see paint. I see refrigerators on the lawn. I see a washer and dryer out back. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. This song is dedicated to all the Obama voters out there. It is the Savage Nation. The Romney voters, of course, sign the checks on the front. And the Obama voters sign the checks on the back. It's the Savage Nation. Halloween Eve in one of my small home studios. A lot of barking from the dog. I wish he'd shut up. Normally he's quiet. I'm going to get a Basenji. The Basenji would be the ultimate talk show host's, you know, home studio dog. It's a hunting dog in Africa that has no bark. It has a yodel-like sound. Like a boo. It's a weird larynx. The Basenji does not bark. And it's an interesting. I'm going to get one because Teddy is a poodle. He barks, boy. The Basenji is a small, elegant-looking, short-haired dog with erect ears and a tightly curled tail. You didn't know that they don't bark. They don't bark. They have a weird vocal cord. How is that? How did that have developed? You know, it's interesting how evolution works. If you, like, push it, like, what would the Obama voter look like if, let's say Obama becomes president again and he disbands the term limits and he's in power, let's say, 50 years from now, like in a South American dictatorship, and the country is shaped by Obama and Axelrod, I would think that you could get some kind of traits that would develop in the American people that would be akin to that of the Basenji, where you don't bark anymore as a person, meaning you can't even disagree with him. You would only be able to howl or yodel, or else you'd be arrested as in the communist Cuba. I don't know. Why did this happen? Selective breeding of, the selective killing of barkier dogs in traditional Central African context, because barking could lead enemies to humans' forest encampments. Wow. That's cruel. That's cold. I mean, a dog barks, they just ate it? And if the dog didn't bark, good dog. And then they bred the... Yeah, that's how it worked, I guess so. Look, you know, survival of the fittest. It's that simple. And I just got distracted because my dog's been barking tonight. Just sent the producer out there. He's a big guy. And it's raining. I said, look, put a raincoat on. Stand outside. And if they show up, say to them, the owner's not home. I have him taped in the back bedroom with duct tape. I've broken in. Can I help you? Maybe that'll give the parents the impression that we don't have any candy for them. Oh, can't you take a joke? Can't you take a joke? Life can be funny, incidentally. Like, talk radio, people are too grim. It's like Grimm's fairy tales, especially with Obama in office. It's changed the atmosphere of the entire nation. This guy is frightening. He is so incredibly, so far to the left, he's frightened the country. Scared us to death with his desire to turn us into Cuba, or, you know, Cuba-like nation. That's a horrible thought. Let's pray to God that on Election Day we are liberated from this regime, this socialist regime. Let's hope. Boca Raton, Florida. Sharon, WFTL, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, I want to ask you, what do you want? The dog is a watchdog. He's protecting you. Strange people are coming to your door. So he's barking. He's alerting you. What do you want?
Okay, but let me explain. He's very smart, though. He's 8 years old already. If I should say to him, don't bark, it's a kid who wants candy, he should look at me and say, okay, I got it. He understands everything else.
He doesn't know that. You should be happy.
No, people are coming. I'm sorry. Look, Sharon, I expect more of my dogs than you may expect of yours. Mine is so close to being human. He's missing a quarter of a gene.
No, mine was practically human. He was my baby. I treated him better than people treat their children.
Because you're a dog lover, as I am. They're unbelievable. Did he sleep in bed with you?
He slept with me, but down here he had fleas, so I was itching. I'd rather have my dog sleep with me than a man sleep with me. Are you kidding?
Well, in Boca Raton, I can accept that as a reality with what you have down there between the toupees and the teeth.
Obama.
I mean, I've been down there. I mean, every guy over 80 there has fake hair, fake teeth, fake legs. Everything is they're like bionic men. How come there's so many older men from New York with young women in Boca? What's that about? What is it? Older men, younger women, they're rented?
I don't know, but you should see them dance. They can dog hump around the dance floor. You have no idea. You should go to one of these singles dances.
But wait, even with a replacement hip from Mount Sinai, they can still do a good mambo?
Oh, boy, could they do a dog hump. You have no idea.
Sharon, you're quite a kick. You're really great. Sharon, I'm going to send you a copy of Train Tracks, even though I'm not going to read from it. Get Sharon's address. We got to send her a copy of my memoirs, Train Tracks. I'll be back in the next hour to entertain and whatever, right here on The Savage Nation.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Here he is, that's right, here he is. Here he is, authentically so. Here he is, Michael Savage. So, although scientists, real climatologists, dispute politicians' claims that the global warming fakers are telling the truth. In other words, Sandy was not related to global warming, but that didn't stop Governor Cuomo of New York and Mayor Bloomberg from saying in no uncertain terms, devastating Superstorm Sandy, clear proof of climate change. Demagoguery, ignorant. The masses don't know the difference. But a NOAA meteorologist, Martin Herling, said no relationship whatsoever. None whatsoever. Climate change had little to no effect upon hurricanes to begin with. So he is a real climatologist as opposed to the demagogues Cuomo and Bloomberg, and then Gore already cashed in already with the science on his TV show. And it's Halloween. What is Halloween? Hallowed evening. Hallowed evening. Sort of a national religious holiday for the pagan class. I know kids like it. I'm going to put me in a like un-American category. I hide, shut the lights off, put tape across the walkway. It doesn't stop the little candy junkies. In the dark, in the rain, they're going under the tape and knocking on the door in my home studio. The dog's barking. I'm mad at the dog. Love this dog. They're so amazing, dogs. God, I don't know what I thought back on my life with dogs. My first dog, Tippy, lovely animal, part chow, bit me right down to the bone. Raced to Monticello Hospital with the searchlight, with the cops. Lovely animal. Bit me right down to the bone. To this day, I have a scar on the leg. Looks like a war wound. That was the first dog. But I had no other dog that ever bit me. I mean, of my own dogs. Then I had a dog that was, what did I have? Killed by another dog in front of my eyes. Horrible. Horrible scene. What was he? A Yorkie. A silky, a little thing. Oh, I loved that thing. I was walking with a friend in Forest Hills, New York. Out of the blue, a Dalmatian came bounding across the street, bit him in front of my eyes. I couldn't do a thing. Bit him around the back, punctured his lungs, and killed him. It's like the ladies who walk with their dogs, and they come up to your crotch on a trail. They sniff your crotch and growl, and they say, don't worry, he's friendly. And you're standing there in fear, like, grrr, and the dog is right next to your crotch. It's unbelievable what they get away with. But you couldn't do anything about it. That was dog number two dead. One bit, one dead. Dog three, Yorkie. Went on a vacation in Hawaii, came back, it was dead, it ate a frog. It ate one of the toxic frogs. I buried it on the grounds of the arboretum. I love that little dog. That was number three. Every dog is amazing. What else? Next tragedy. Oh, the dog I got from the San Quentin Hell's Angel who came out on the ferry. That one. I love Bandit. He was a border collie. Wow, he was something. Did I tell you the Bandit, Hell's Angel, Border Collie, how I got its story on the boardwalk, on the ferry with the drinks that I bought the guy just out of San Quentin? They give him $5. And the guy just came. I used to ride the ferry a lot in my writer phase. And the ferry goes past San Quentin. And when the guys get out of San Quentin, they give them a few bucks, whatever. I don't know how much, $200. And they get on the ferry, usually go to San Francisco. So I met this guy, tough-looking guy. I don't know, struck up an acquaintance with him, bought him a couple of drinks for whatever reason. Didn't bother me. I didn't know what he did. And the next thing I know, he says, I like you. Come on, you're coming to my house. I want you to meet my old lady. Now, you know, you don't know whether you're going to have your throat cut or whatever, but I'm that kind of person. I went with him. I could go to South San Francisco by bus after the ferry. And then we're walking across planks out onto the, it's like a mud flats. They lived in houses on stilts, you know. There's like the storm, right? Anyone who lives in a house on a stilt right away, you know what you're in for right away. I'm walking about a half a mile out into the mud flats. But she was a nice old lady, this and that. We had drinks. And he had a litter of dogs. He said, you got to have one. Well, I'm going to say to him, no, on the end of a stilt, in the middle of nowhere in a mud flat. So I took the dog. I walked back. I hold it. Back bus, back ferry home. Kids fell in love with it. Bandit, I named him. This dog was astounding. I'm talking about dogs now. I went from global warming and Christie to, you know, I come home, the kids love that dog. Now, this dog was the toughest dog I've ever owned, was this Border Collie. He fought a bigger dog to a draw, a Rottweiler down the street. He fought him to a draw, I swear to God. But the real important thing about this Border Collie, which was amazing, no matter how you put him in the yard, he would jump over the fence, disappear, and then the ranger on Mount Tamalpais here in Marin County. Once the ranger brought him back, and he said, if I bring your dog back one more time chasing deer, I'm going to shoot him. Nice guy. You know, another macho guy with a gun who was going to shoot a dog for running on the sacred mountain. Anyway, so this dog would break out of the gate, run across the valley, I swear to God, in Fairfax County, and he had a girl dog that he liked. He found and fell in love with a girl dog. He opened the gate with his teeth. He found out to open the lock, and they go running around on the mountain chasing deer. So now listen to how that story ended. Lo and behold, I had to go teach in the East, like Grapes of Wrath with the trailer, take the kids out of school, went back East to teach, and we left the dog chained to a tree in Port Washington, New York, came back, there was the chain and no dog, never saw him again. That was Heartbreak Hotel number 4. So now we speed it up. Then we had Snowy. I loved her. Oh, that was my last. That was pre-talk radio dog, or just when I started in 1994, I think. I don't know when she died. She was a collie, like a little lassie. They call him a Sheltie. Wow, she was great. But, okay, now she's ashes now in a box with the picture. I learned that from a friend who's a dog lover. I went to his house. He has like 6 boxes and pictures of each dog on the top and inside of the ashes of the dog. It's a little ghoulish. It's Halloween, but it's an interesting custom in its own way. So I have a box now next to the phone and a lamp of Snowy. I don't know what to make of it. It's an eerie thing to think about it. Who knows if it's even, it could be cigarette ashes. You know, the people who run these crematoria, I don't trust them anyway. Could have been pell-mell in the box for all I know. Or Chesterfield, what do I know? I looked in there, I never opened it in my life. Could be Camel. Like the wife's Camel, I imagine. They live in a trailer somewhere and they put cigarette ashes in there for the idiot people who pay money for the crematoria. Now I have this poodle finally. I don't know. He's 8 years old. I hope he lives to 20, 29. Maybe with life extension. I don't know. I treat him very well. Eats a lot of human food. I killed the other one by overfeeding it. I almost killed Snowy from feeding it like a person. I'd eat, she'd eat. Whatever I ate, she ate. I couldn't help it. People said you're going to kill a dog. I said, it's my business. How could you say no to a dog that looks at you when you're eating something? So now I've learned my lesson. I feed this one a little bit less. I give him some of the dog chow with chicken. And for guilt, I give him carrots chopped in. And now he is next to the bed, next to the microphone, barking if a kid comes to the door. It's life goes on. And what are we talking about? Here's the topic of the day. Is Christie backstabbing Romney to get Obama elected so he, Christie, can be president of 2016? And we talked about it for an hour already. Some of you think yes. We know Christie already is, his star has fallen amongst the conservatives. This happened over the last few months. He started to take middle-of-the-road positions. He was already moving from the right to the middle after he, garnered all of the conservative interest. Like all politicians, bingo, he moved to the middle, you know. So now Christie, maybe he's undermining Romney by putting Obama on a pedestal. So Obama wins, Romney loses. So in 2016, he runs against Hillary Clinton. Now, who would win in that race? That's an interesting one. If it was Christie versus Hillary, I would say just picking it out of the hat, Christie wins. Benghazi gate, Libya gate, that and the Arab winter destroyed Hillary's chances whatsoever. She's finished. There is no chance for her to come back as a politician. The most she could do is run a university, her and Madeleine Albright. They could write books. I have a piece on my website, michaelsavage.com. You'll not believe this. Madeleine Albright was one of the most despicable war criminals of all time for what she did to the Serbian people alone. She should be in The Hague. She has the nerve to go to Prague on a book tour a couple of weeks ago, and she's sitting there looking horrible. I've never seen anything like it. Horrible. Let's say you have a grandmother that's horrible looking, like a grandmother who aged badly. And to top it off, she was always a witch. She aged badly, and she's a witch. She looks like an aged witch. There's Madeleine Albright, like with the thinning hair. Horrible. So she's signing books with that witch smile, and a group of Serbs come up to her, and they call her a war criminal. And she gets up, and she starts screaming at him. The face goes from Miss Smile to Hate. Get out, she screams. Get out, get out. It's on my website. I found it on a foreign from a foreign source. It's astounding. Madeleine Albright. Yeah, another great prize. Imagine a woman writes a book called Pins about her legs. You know how deranged that woman must be? The woman who ordered the bombing of Serbia, destroyed every bridge over the Danube River with American air power, painted over with NATO markings, and it was run by the socialists from Spain, Solana. I don't forget a thing about it. They stole Kosovo from the Serbs under the guise of protecting Muslims. One of the greatest war crimes of our time. Madeleine Albright was the architect. Got away with it. So if you say, oh, they killed him in Libya for a political gain, what, are you shocked by that? You don't know how power madness works, do you? You have no idea that politicians would not only have a person killed for personal gain, they'll burn a nation to the ground to stay in power. You think they care about an ambassador and an ex-SEAL and a few other guys? Are you crazy? They'd burn a nation to the ground to hold on to power. So don't think that I'm naive about, you know, what things are and how things work. Truthfully, I'm not. I went already past the break. Break at 16. The phone number is 1-855-855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282 to talk about miniature politicians right here on the Savage Nation.
Call Michael right now at 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282.
Got to work, plan goes leave all deep. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time.
It is the Savage Nation. Is today Wednesday already? God, the week is flying by. 855-400-7282. Your friendly Uncle Savage. The man that's missing in your life, Michael Savage. The uncle that you couldn't wait to see on Sundays at the family dinners of years gone by, and then you couldn't stand the guy. By the time the meal was over, you hated him, and then you say, I never want to talk to that SOB again. And then by Wednesday you started to think about the dinner because you wanted to argue with him again. I think that's sort of the role that I fill. I don't know, who knows? But the thing is with me, you're going to get at least one man's opinion that's based upon facts and thinking. I don't have an agenda, to be honest with you. I'm not a Republican. I'm voting for Romney because I don't like communists. I've studied the devastation of socialism and communism. I see the demagoguery of Obama that frightens me to my core. I know that Axelrod, Obama's brain, has been a lifetime left-wing wobbly. I know that everyone around Obama scares me. They're like, he's like Rasputin. To me, Obama has become like a Rasputin of the American political landscape. Do you know that? It's amazing. People don't even know who Rasputin is. If you study the history of the Romanovs and then Rasputin, Obama's sort of like this magic genie that the left found, cultivated, and put him into the royal house of the Romanovs, of the Democrat Romanovs. And he is like a force that's not for the good of the people, as I can tell. That's how I feel about the man. That's one man's opinion. Am I a big Romney fan? In a way, yes. I think he's a decent man. I trust him. I'll sleep better at night. I'm laying it on the line. Why? National security. Romney knows the threats of Islamism. Obama is either in bed with them or doesn't even understand the danger that we're in with the Islamists. Period. Bends over backwards for them. Understands them. Caters to them. Appeases them. Thinks they're going to change. Doesn't understand the Islamist mind. Or does he? If he does, we're in bigger trouble than I fear. I'll just assume he doesn't really understand them. Romney does understand them. And I don't care what the bubbling, drug-addicted left thinks about what I'm saying. Doesn't matter to me whatsoever what the front men for the Democrat socialist machine think. Doesn't matter to me whatsoever. And as far as over-regulation and over-taxation, who do you think's better on that? Think about that one. If you run a business, you know you're voting for Romney. If you employ more than two people, you're voting for Romney. Okay? It's that simple. So, there it is. That's my opinion. One man's opinion. That's all. What's this? Oh, yeah. I'm getting the emails during a show, the Halloween, the dog. I hope it lives to 19. Transplants, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's take the calls. Fairlawn, New Jersey. Alan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I'm sitting in the cold, in the dark, in my kitchen. I'm in northern New Jersey, about 15 miles west of the city. I don't have television. I have the radio. That's the only news I'm getting. Some of the New York radio stations have the audio of the television feed on there. I'm
unbelievable. Wait, so wait, you're in New Jersey. So what station are you picking me up on?
1180 WHEM in Rochester.
You're getting Rochester in New Jersey. That's some powerhouse. What a flamethrower.
Yeah, it's a good station. Anyhow, so I'm sitting here in the cold in the dark. I hear that the president comes to New Jersey. My governor, I'm a Christie admirer. Right. I hear my governor is meeting with him. They're going to be bringing in these electrical workers from all around the country to get my lights back on, to get me warm again. Sounds pretty good to me. I'm sitting in the cold in the dark, Michael. A son of mine.
I'm listening. Now, you see, so you don't mind that Christie reached out to Obama.
Well, I'm sitting here cold and I'm dark.
You're saying I don't care what Christie had to do. I want it done.
I'm saying is I don't see it. A son of mine called from the city where he's got to. He says that Christie backstabbed Romney today. But you see, I don't see it. All I know is I'm cold and I hear help is coming. Michael, there's a bigger problem. I just want to give you a heads up as to what.
Well, wait, no, that's an important point, and you made an important point. You don't really care how warmly he embraced Obama. You're thanking God someone's coming to turn your lights on.
Absolutely right. Michael, I'm in the water.
I buy that. I accept that, Alan. What else is on your mind?
It's coming up, though, Michael. Let me tell you. There is no gasoline in North Jersey. The refineries were out because of electricity. When I say there's no gasoline, I don't mean in my neighborhood. In all of North Jersey, it was on the news today that a gas station on Route 17 in Meadowlands.
Let me ask you, are the strip clubs owned by the carding folks, are they open? Like Bada Bing, is Bada Bing still open?
There's no electricity. No.
Well, they don't have a backup generator with stolen diesel fuel?
I don't know. But, I mean, just listen. There's no gasoline in North Jersey.
I hear that's horrible. It's horrible, horrible. Savage Nation, 855-407-2282. So this man is saying, thank God Christie reached out to Obama. You hear that? That's a man in the storm.
Spend my whole life loving you. Life would be a dream, sweetheart.
Savage.
Five days to the election. Can you believe it? And we have the storm. We have Libya. Unbelievable. Look what's on the top of the Drudge Report. Sex scandal to hit campaign. Good old sex. Good old sex comes to save the day. Story set to involve powerful senator. Sources tell Drudge Daily Caller plans late night release. Now, why would that matter? Sex scandal to hit which campaign? It's not about Romney. That's unthinkable. Straight up missionary position, period. Never cheated on his wife, so how could it be him? It's not Obama. Michelle would have killed him. God forbid. So there's no sex scandal with them. That's one thing. Thank God Clinton's not a... We would have that to complicate matters. You know, both of these guys are straight as an arrow when it comes to that. For whatever the reasons are, we don't have to bother ourselves with that nonsense. Powerful senator. Who could it be? I mean, who could the senator, a powerful senator? It's a man, right? Calder Daily Caller plan. So tonight we're going to find out about a sex scandal to hit campaign. Which senator could that possibly be involved? Who could it be? It can't be. It can't be. What powerful senator could be involved in a sex story? Which one of them? Which one of them is powerful enough to even have sex? Most of them are so decrepit, I can't imagine they'd be involved in a sex scandal. Doug, who could you think it could be? Which senators could possibly be involved in a sex scandal? Can't be Dianne Feinstein. That's unimaginable. I mean, I know it's Halloween. It could be a woman, right? Couldn't be Barbara Boxer, another wonderful thought. So let's rule them out. Barbara Mikulski in a sex scandal? I don't think so. The one from Maine? The rhino from Maine? Couldn't be her. So now let's go down to top guys on the Senate thing. Who could it possibly be? I can't speculate on this because I could get in trouble. No polls now. They stopped polling. Could it be Napolitano? No, she's not a senator. It couldn't be a Big Sis. No, because she's not a senator. She's not running for anything. It couldn't be Panetta. He's not a senator. I think he's more interested in Mortadella anyway. I mean, you take a look at him, Peter Sellers. Okay, we'll have to wait on that. 5 days. 5 days till the election. I don't know what the country's going to have a nervous breakdown next Wednesday. Romney and Obama camps war over state of the race. Tough business. And that's why I never went into politics. I could never do it. I speak well. People like me. I could get it. But I could never do this for a living. Again, here he is. Obama's brain, David Axelrod, said we feel very, very good about the numbers. Now, what is he going to say? Feels bad? Of course you feel good about the numbers. People hit Romney that's coming up Obama. Of course you should feel good about the numbers, David. And then what about the votes being counted by the machines in Spain? Well, who can pay any attention to this? I'm absentee ballot on my table. I haven't sent it in yet. There are so many ballot initiatives in California. I don't even know. I'm afraid to open the envelope. It looks like it'll take me 4 hours to go through it. Here I am, a guy with a PhD. I've been in America my whole life. I speak the language. I'm afraid to open the ballot. It's unbelievable to me. Vote yes on no. Vote no on yes. Vote B on A. Vote C on D. I'm going to open it up. I don't know which way to turn tomorrow. It's a whole day's job to vote in America today. Can you imagine the illegal aliens? They're told which way to vote. Straight down from Somalia, they bust them in. Did you see that one? They don't speak English. They're not citizens, but they're told to vote straight down the whole thing. D, 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 D. All right, let's take some callers. How has the storm affected you if you're not in the East Coast and not hit by it? Let's say you don't live in a house on a stilt in Far Rockaway. Let us say you don't live in a stilt house somewhere on the Jersey Shore. Didn't stop the big mouths from talking, did it? With the gold chains and the hairy chests. You'd only think for 1 minute they would shut up. The country's IQ would go up 3 points if they could just shut their mouths for 10 minutes. Then the national IQ would go up for in about 10 minutes. Boca Raton, FTL John, has the storm affected you in some way? How?
Storm affected me. I have 40 years up in there. I'm 50 now, 40 years in New York. I'm trying to get in touch with my friends and family. Finally got through today. Cell phones ain't working. A couple of landlines are working. Got through just worrying about my friends and family up there.
I can't get through to my literary agent. I can't get through to my publisher. You know, they're really out of business, truthfully, for right now.
Right, it was a hit and miss with the landline with one of my buddies, and then all of a sudden my phone rang. My friend got a signal. He was on the 110 in Huntington. He got through to me, trying all day and all night getting. But I found out things are okay. Everybody's fine. It's a mess on Long Island.
Oh, horrible.
Horrible. I mean, houses on fire. I don't know if you know the South Shore, Long Beach, water.
I do, but it's all electrical fires because when salt water, you know, hits electrical, that it's a disaster zone.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going up. My brother's a trucker. We're heading up from Miami, going up to Long Island over this weekend, so I'm going to get up there to see him at least. But, that's how it affected me. I couldn't get through to my friends.
John, I want to ask you a personal question about the show. Are you a longtime listener to FTL on my old time?
I've been listening to you. I lived in Fresno, California. I've been listening for about 5 years. I know Doug, and I know Beowulf, everybody.
Oh, yeah, well, no, that crew isn't with me. That's read the book of backstabbing.
Book trickle-down tyranny, and I couldn't believe all of a sudden I'm scanning
about trickle
through the
up
channel.
Tyranny. I had trickle-in tyranny from a few of those people you just mentioned.
Right.
Trickle-in tyranny. But, John, I'm so glad you found me in the later time slot. Does it affect you in some way, staying up so late?
I actually like it better. I could do my thing at night. I don't watch TV.
See, that's what I'm hearing. A lot of people are saying, thank God you're on later, because I have a better opportunity to listen to you now. Because they couldn't listen. If they made a living, how can they listen to the show? They catch me intermittently.
Right.
All right, John. I'm so glad. See, this, I feel better already. I'm starting to get a connection, contact with the audience that I had. They're flowing. They're starting to flow in through the microphone into my headphones. I don't use headphones. I'm the only host in America who has a system. It's so complicated. The engineers never saw a system like this. I don't have headphones on. That's why my hearing is still good. If I had used headphones these years, my hearing would be diminished. I've never used a headphone. I never even liked it for music. I have a very complicated ducking system. I hear you on a speaker, so you're like in my room with me. And the engineers from Cumulus came out and they did a whole system in all of my home studios. Amazing. Electoral votes predicts Romney holds 206 and Obama 237. Already they're telling you who's going to lose and who's going to win. KBOI, another powerhouse signal out of Boise, Idaho. Don't laugh. Many people on the call, Idaho. No, you have no idea that there are people in Idaho and they vote, incidentally. They don't just raise your stake. Idaho doesn't have cattle anyway, right? Idaho. What's the national, the state product in Idaho? John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What is
we
the number
have
one
famous potatoes, Michael? And I know you're probably a potato fan.
I'm a potato maniac. I love.
Well, that's good.
No, I'm one of the.
That.
I love potatoes. I like them. If I could get a potato over rice or over pasta, I'll take a baked potato with nothing on it over any other starch.
Or how about gnocchi? You probably like gnocchi, right?
I'm sorry. This is a family show. We can't use dirty words.
Well, it's the volcanic soil here. You being a botanist, you'd probably get all that. But
we can't talk about gnocchi. We cannot talk about gnocchi on this show. So tell me what you think about Christie.
Well, I think today I found something ironic. I think that I heard that Romney went soft in saying that, you know, he's basically shut off all the negative, and he's going all positive. We got to get along. Everyone's got to sing Kumbaya and put the loincloths on and get around the campfire. and then you got Christie going out there basically putting his tongue in Obama's ear on the ramp as they get off Marine One, and I put two and two together and I thought,
oh,
hey,
what a horrible
Christie's
thought
a lawyer.
That is. That's a disgusting thought, but yeah, it did look a little too close and comfortable. That's what was impressing me, was how cozy he was. It wasn't just politician to politician. This was beyond that.
Yeah, it was scary. The whole hugging and thing, I don't know, Obama needs to put about two more feet on his arms, I think, to get around that. But
yeah, this was an amazing, it was like Mutt and Jeff, if you remember that old comic strip.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm not quite that old.
Neither am I. I don't remember
My dad
it.
Used to say that all the time. You're like Mutt and Jeff. But
yeah,
anyway, that's
I never
theory.
Saw the comic strip myself, but I heard it was about a very rotund man and a very skinny tall man.
Yep.
So, John, other than potatoes, what is Idaho export?
We are literally, our license plates say famous potatoes on it. I mean, we are the potato. All the five-star restaurants get all their potatoes from us. You actually can't get a good potato in Idaho because we send them all out.
And, well, what about the Keystone XL pipeline? Wouldn't that be running through your state?
No, I don't think so. I think that drops down through the Dakotas, if I'm not mistaken, and goes across the Midwest. But
what
I don't
an
know.
Investment
Maybe
that would be to... You know what an investment would be to buy a couple of boarding houses in one of those states? If Romney wins in the Keystone Pipeline, it's going to be like the Alaskan Gold Rush.
Oh, exactly. And that's what's so great about it. We've got a boom. It's just waiting for us. You talk about shovel-ready jobs. I mean,
and the only reason that the Keystone Pipeline was killed by Obama is because one of his biggest supporters, a man who makes my flesh crawl, you know, Mr. A Nice Guy himself, owns the railroad cars that bring the oil in from Canada. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Buffet.
Yeah, that's right, the Buffet himself. He sure enjoys the buffet of federal subsidies on his railroad line, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all, you know, waving the red, white, and blue when it suits us, but when it comes to really looking at what the country really needs, which is energy independence, I mean...
That's right. If it was up to me, that pipeline would have been built already. I would drill off the California coast. I would do fracking. I'd bring oil in from Canada, and I would tell the Arabs to do, you know what to do with their sand, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a few things they can do with their sand, and they know.
Yeah. Let them export their oil to China. I don't want it anymore. I'd rather be energy independent, frankly.
Oh, exactly.
Dependent upon them. They blackmailed us since 1951. The time is, I went over the time, I'm right on time. I'm on time. Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Any topic is fair game. I'll be right back. Welcome to the new old Savage Nation. Toll free from anywhere in the United States of America, 855-400-7282. MichaelSavage.com. You can sign up for a free newsletter, by the way. It's pretty good. You get it like a regular in your email. But how will the federal government react to Sandy? There's talk now that Wall Street, you hear this? The Federal Reserve may provide further monetary accommodation in response to the damage wrought by Sandy. What does that mean? More money. Easing asset purchases, a focus on buying different financial assets by the Fed. They're calling it QE Sandy. One trader described what he thinks the Fed will do as QE Sandy. Quantitative easing Sandy. You know what that means? Bailout, in other words. It's going to happen. They have to do it, frankly. And I say, well, why not? What are the people supposed to do? I mean, what are they supposed to do? I mean, what is the federal government for? In a case of a crisis like this, the government should help. I don't want to hear, oh, let the people rebuild on their own. You know, that's what you're going to hear from the purists, which is utter nonsense. People need help, and the government should help them. It's that simple. As long as it's from your pocket, not mine. As long as they take it from Harry Reid's bank account and from Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein's accounts, I'm all for the quantitative easing to help the people with the storm. Dallas, Texas, KLIF, Vernon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, this is Vernon in Texas. How are you, sir?
What's your question?
My question is, should I feel guilty because I'm a young American and I'm a veteran, but I feel more secure with Netanyahu's speech, and I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like so scared about my future with Romney, the deacon, and as you call him, and Obama up there. I felt more secure and more safe.
Well, okay, well, that's an interesting statement. Of course you do. Romney is a pacifist. Obama's a left-wing pacifist. Romney's a centrist pacifist. Netanyahu is a man who served in the IDF, and he was somewhat of a hero. He understands what life and death is on the battlefield, and he understands that he has to actually protect his people, that it's not an intellectual parlor game. I think that's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yes, sir, but I guess when I'm looking for your advice, should I feel guilty as an American because he is so much more statesman than what we have on those debates?
No, we don't have statesmen in this country. We have politicians. We have managers posing as statesmen. It's a different story here. You know, you're not going to get that style leadership in the United States of America. What you're going to get is what we have.
Well, can you break
maybe that? Maybe that's why people move to other countries, though, Vernon. I'm not suggesting you do. But there are reasons people leave their own country, and one of the reasons is they don't feel comfortable in it anymore. They feel it's become so phony and so manipulated and so unrealistic. Maybe they would feel more comfortable in another system. So they maybe you should become an expat. Why don't you go visit Israel?
Maybe I should. But hey, can you break down his speech and I'll hang up and listen?
Maybe you ought to marry an Iranian Israeli with purple eyes.
Thank you, sir.
You never know. I mean, you know, you never know what you might meet there. I was in Israel once. This is a true story. And there are some amazing Iranian people. Jewish Iranians who emigrated there after, well, long in the 50s. And we were walking in a dark street of Tel Aviv one night. We got lost. And a young lady came out, and she helped us, and she invited us in her apartment. She turns out she was a paratrooper. She was 22 years old. She was a movie star quality good looks. She had purple eyes. It was astounding. And there were the pictures of all of her family members, ancestors, on her mantelpiece, you know, with the silver frame. It was one of those surrealistic, amazing moments. And that's why I say, you know, Iranian lady with the purple eyes. There are such creatures walking the planet. But, you know, in America, we don't see much of that. We see a standard type, which I don't have to now categorize for you. I think you know what I'm talking about. Obama says, cut the red tape. You mean the red tape he created, now he wants to cut it to help all of the poor people. This is going to cost some money. Wow. I pray Election Day is not postponed. I pray that all of this pornographic spending on ads will come to an end. I do. It's pornographic in its magnitude. And I hope maybe some of that money could go to actual needy people. And I hope that there is a lot done by the federal government as fast as possible. So far, I don't know. Has the federal government done anything for anybody in New Jersey? I don't see how they could have. What could they do, Sonna? I haven't heard any of the radical leftists say that that Obama broke the levees on purpose in order to flood the white people of New Jersey. It's one thing I haven't heard yet. Remember? Do you remember the insanity of Katrina? Do you remember the insanity of the left? They said that George Bush purposely blew up the levees in order to flood New Orleans to affect black people. Do you remember that insanity? Thank God so far I haven't heard that that Obama did that to hurt white people. I mean, thank God the right hasn't said that. But, you know, who knows what could happen tomorrow? We haven't blamed anybody for this yet. It's called a natural disaster. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Charlene on WRNN. What's on your mind?
How are you this evening?
Me? Never ask me that because I'm not sure till the show is over. What are you calling about?
I was listening to you earlier and your thoughts about Christie and 2016, and I couldn't agree more. And as of about a day ago, I really thought a lot of the man. Thought he would have been a great contender, but I
so you're not happy with that he embraced Obama so completely, forcefully, went out of his way, put him on a pedestal, however you want to put it. You think he overdid it?
Absolutely. I could see him thanking him for coming and showing concern, but he went, I felt it was very odd how overboard he went.
Well, that was my original instinct. The pictures showed a certain camaraderie that I did not comprehend. If Christie were a genuine, let us say, conservative, he'd be repulsed by Obama, even though he needs Obama's help, even though he needs the bailout, even though he needs federal aid, right? There was something odd about the level at which he embraced Obama, and I think we'll leave it at that. There are people who are putting out theories that Christie is doing this to Obama, glorifying him in order to derail Romney so that Christie can run in 2016. I don't know the answer. Who knows what is inside his heart? But I do know he lost an awful lot of conservative support. It's the Savage Nation every night on your local station right here. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I'll be right back for another big hour on the Savage Nation.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As far as I can tell, we have the first communist president in American history. Of course, what do you expect him to wear, a Che Guevara outfit? Do you expect the man to put on a red beret and wave a red flag? Are you people that naive? Any European, any ex-Soviet will tell you we have a communist in the White House. But the Americans are so naive that they don't even know what they see when they see it. I'll give you an example. We hear about how good he is for the environment and how good he is for green things and solar companies and things of that nature. Just as in the Soviet Union, gigantic projects were designed specifically to advance the pocketbooks of the bureaucrats within the Politburo. No one really made any, there were no jobs created and no money. So you say, what do you know about Solyndra? That's old news, is it? How about this one? Did you ever hear of the Tonopah Solar Company in Harry Reid's Nevada? Did you know that back in March, the Tonopah Solar Company in Harry Reid's Nevada got a $737 million loan from Obama's corrupt Department of Energy? Do you know this project will produce a 110-megawatt power system and employ a total of 45 workers? $737 million. That works out to $16 million per job under the communist president. But that's only the beginning of the scandal. One of the investment partners in this scam is Pacific Corporate Group, PCG. The PCG executive director is Ron Pelosi, who is the brother to Nancy's husband. Just move along, folks. Just move along, folks, and talk about the president's dog and how good he is for America and how he's our first person who's not a white president. Every American should know how their money is being stolen. This was sent to someone I know on the email chain. It's going around America. Nobody can believe that such naked corruption is occurring and not even being mentioned by Romney. So I'll tell you silly jokes, such as what's the difference between Romney supporters and Obama supporters. That's something even a Democrat can laugh at. Romney supporters sign the check on the front. Obama supporters sign the check on the back. I was culling the news. So then I look up some stories about Obama. And you know I wrote Trickle Down Tyranny, and I hope you've read the book by now. And I see that even the left, the legitimate liberals, as opposed to the fraudulent progressive folks, legitimate liberals understand that we have a dictatorship. I was stunned to find an article in the Huffington Post dated 3/21/2012 that I must have missed. Martial law by executive order. Even the liberals said that we had a government takeover under Obama. President Obama's National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order of March 16th does to the country as a whole what the 2012 National Defense Authorization Act did to the Constitution in particular. Completely eviscerates any due process or judicial oversight for any action by the government deemed in the interest of national security. Like the NDAA, the new executive order signed by the dictator Obama puts him completely above the law, which in a democracy is never supposed to happen. They write, now this is a liberal publication, the United States is essentially now under martial law without the exigencies of a national emergency. They said they can't believe this actually happened under a so-called progressive president. And I laughed to myself. I said, are you people that silly? Are you that naive to have believed that such acts would have been permitted under a conservative presidency? It could only happen under a progressive presidency because progressives are by definition and by nature communists and dictators. The fact of the matter is, you have a president right now, and his secretaries have the authority to commandeer all U.S. domestic resources, including food and water. They can seize all energy and transportation infrastructure inside the borders of the United States. Did you know that Obama can forcibly draft U.S. citizens into the military and force U.S. citizens to fulfill labor requirements for the purposes of national defense? There's not even any congressional oversight allowed, only briefings. That's right. They can take you off the street and put you into a labor camp if they say they're doing it for purposes of national defense. But it gets even worse. President of the United States, as a result of the 2012 law, which he passed in the middle of the night, gives him and his agents the right to seize and arrest any U.S. citizen, detain them indefinitely without charge or trial, and do so only on suspicion, without any judicial oversight or due process. Now, I could go into the details. It's an exaggeration to tell you that I'm concerned. Or shall I say it's not an exaggeration to say I'm more than concerned. I'm alarmed. The fact of the matter is I warned you about this in Trickle Down Tyranny. And when this article came out, I missed it. It was written by a liberal blogger, Jim Garrison. Martial law by executive order. I really advise you to read this. And you better read it really carefully to understand that even legitimate liberals understand that we have martial law under this dictator. Going along with his forged long-form birth certificate, going over the fact that he has a total control over the press, going over the fact that there's soon to be a volcano in the Middle East, the fraudulent administration of Obama, along with Pelosi and the Democrat leaders in most states, who are now granting amnesty to illegal aliens in the form of fake driver's licenses in California, just in time for the election, guarantees that we've lost our democracy in our lifetime. And it happened to you when you thought you had the first progressive president. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a democracy. This is a republic. There is a big difference, and we know that. But what you don't understand is that this NDAA that he signed, wrote this, was written in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night. So I have a job to do on this show every day, which is to do it. And to do it with such humor that you listen to it. And so I'm trying to do it with a degree of humor. It's not easy to do, by the way. Martial law by executive order written by a liberal.
Obama gave $737 million loan guarantee to Nevada solar firm tied to Pelosi clan. No investigation, no discussion by the viruses in the media. If you care to talk on this show, you'll get to speak to more people than you've met in your entire life. Now let's go to the callers. Peter, go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. Hey, like you, I'm an independent conservative. I am not voting for Obama. But as far as the, you know, when you were mentioning the martial law examples, didn't George W. Bush put a lot of this stuff in place to begin with?
No. See, here's the thing. This is how the liberals have confused you and many others. When the Patriot Act was first signed by Bush, the illegitimate left said that all of us are in danger of martial law. What they left out was that there was judicial oversight required for any arrest in the United States of America. Moreover, the original Patriot Act did not give the president the right to kill a U.S. citizen anywhere. Now, move the clock ahead. The dictator from Chicago, in the middle of the night on New Year's Eve, signs the first NDAA, and then in March signs another, giving him absolute power with no judicial oversight and with the power to kill without any regard to the legality of it. He could decide who dies. Do you know this or not?
Well, when you say the power to kill, aren't we referring largely to, you know, the Islamist who happened to be born in America, but he was overseas? So if we're talking about taking
Are we talking about them? It doesn't say Islamists who were born in America, but who are residing overseas and are threatening us. It says anyone. Anyone who threatens us, anyone who threatens our national security. So who is that?
Who is what? I'm sorry.
Who is that? Who threatens our national security? Who decides that?
It's a great point. I'm just saying
telling you how it worked in the ex-Soviet Union. Anyone who threatened the power structure was considered a threat to national security and was rounded up by the secret police and thrown into the gulag. Don't think that can't happen here. Why can't it happen here?
But have they taken an American-grown citizen who lives here right now?
We don't know yet. I don't know who's disappeared that I know of. I don't know of anyone yet. But what's to say he can't do it? He's given himself the power to do it and to seize any resource to draft anyone at any time and to conscript them into labor camps if he wishes. It's all in writing. Bush didn't sign this. Obama did.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that.
Well, what I'd like you to do is read this for yourself, because I was shocked to read it. I missed it when it came out in March, and it was written by a liberal blogger on the Huffington Post, and I dug it up again, and I was shocked. Now, couple this power madness and these power grabs with the naked bunko coming out of the White House, bunko in the form of billions of dollars in loans, bunko that in any other administration would have resulted in an FBI investigation. By the way, what did the FBI do with all the files they grabbed from Solyndra? Does anyone know? Remember when that happened over a year ago? I said, well, at least we know the FBI is working for us. Someone called me and said, Mike, are you that naive? The reason the FBI swooped in and grabbed Solyndra's files is to make certain that the Republicans in Congress never find out who got the money. I said, don't be that cynical. Guess who was right? It wasn't me. Guess who was right? It wasn't me. Okay, so if you want to talk about these serious questions, I'm here for you. I don't know about you. I've never seen anything like this. The stripping away of our constitutional protections under this gangster regime, and I have no other words for it that would work. The gangster regime has stripped away our constitutional protections because the vermin in the media are focusing on abortion. Little rats, the viruses in the media, the viruses like Wolf Blitzer, are focusing on abortion. They are the most shameful examples of those people who have been assigned the duty that comes with being a member of the Fourth Estate. That is correct. People like myself take our responsibilities quite seriously. Shame on them. Shame on them. John, welcome to the show.
Do you fear that you might be taken in the middle of the night? I'm sure he's got a detail of agents listening to your show. Do you fear this?
Do I fear it? I think about it. I don't know that I fear it.
It's interesting, because the way you describe this act, it looks like he might take you in the middle of the night. But I'll pray for you that doesn't happen.
Well, let's say I'm still safe till the election. Let's put it to you that way. After the election, I might move to Iceland and get a cod fishing boat.
Well...
You think it's a joke? I am telling you that people are going to flee this country after this man. If, God forbid, this man steals the second election, He hoodwinked people in the first election. Most intelligent people know who he is. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Anyone with a brain knows that this man is a con man and a fraud. But more than that, he's more dangerous than any president in American history.
Savage.
Matter is, we have a new executive order that went unnoticed in March that can be conducted in peacetime without any national emergency to justify it. They can be just done for purposes of national defense. So what does that mean? What does this mean? Don't you understand what has happened under this regime? The new executive order gives Obama, through the Secretary of Labor, the right to mobilize U.S. citizens for labor as the government deems necessary and to coordinate with the Secretary of Defense, whatever that means. What is this executive order? There is no oversight. It's the first time in American history. And like the previous NDAA, which I spelled out in detail in Trickle-Down Tyranny, the new executive order passed in March, which went unnoticed by the viruses in the media, puts the government completely above the law, which in a republic such as ours is not supposed to be permitted. The United States is right now under martial law without the exigencies of a national emergency. And yet you're focusing on which slut from Hollywood slept with one fake man from Hollywood, who is dating what, and I blame the press for it, because they have abrogated their responsibilities as the Fourth Estate. What does the Fourth Estate mean? You can pretty much figure it out. But when you see what they have become, which are just servile flatterers of the presidency, that's why he's able to get away with it. Pennsylvania, Phil, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor to speak with you. I'm a professor of political science, and I did an interesting assignment for my students, most of whom are juniors and seniors. I made them listen to your show once and write a paper about it, then made them listen for 14 days or go to your website 14 times and write a second paper. The first paper, the majority said that you were a lunatic and didn't want to listen to you. After the second series of papers came in, 60% had a completely different change of view and began talking about topics and substance rather than about personality. I thought that it was amazing, and I just want to thank you for having an influence on the young people.
Wow.
If we can just get them to listen.
Well, you know, how do you even survive as a professor of poli-sci, which is totally leftist in this country? How do you even survive in your department?
I'm tenured. If I wasn't, I'd be scrubbing garbage cans, I assure you.
Oh, God, that's so terrible. No, I want to go back to the children's initial response, that I'm a lunatic, and that's because they've been so brainwashed by the so-called brainwashing process, the NEA, that they thought that I was crazy, not them.
Right. They thought you were making things up and that you were slandering and you were, just coming up with things out of the air. When they would write those papers and I would ask them to defend some of the things that they thought were, were about, they couldn't. I forced them to go to your website and research some things that they took issue with, and of course they couldn't. They couldn't come up with an answer, and I basically
So this is the iPhone generation.
Yeah,
these are the people who run around with a thumb on an iPhone thinking they're Einstein. God help us all. Unbelievable call. Unbelievable call, but you know it's what I hear all the time. Is that if a person listens to Michael Savage for the first time, they can draw only one conclusion. He's crazy. He's a liar. He's making it all up. You listen a second time, he's crazy. He's a liar, but maybe he's not making it all up. Third time, he's crazy, he's not a liar, and he's not making it all up. Fourth time, you know, he's not so crazy, he's not really a liar, and he's not making it up. Fifth time, you know, I actually agree with some of what he says, and so forth. You take it down the line, it's because these poor people are not exposed to any other way of thinking than what the newspapers feed them or what their communist professors have driven into their head, the drivel that has been driven into their brains. Remember, I don't make the news. I report the news in my own way and with my own interpretation. But when I tell you that we have martial law by executive order, and I say I didn't write the article, it was published on a liberal blog, Huffington Post, in March by an alarmed real liberal as opposed to a knee-jerk progressive communist, I didn't make that up. I'm telling you what has happened. And he says the only thing, well, he concludes like this, and it's worth reading to you. And I'm going to read, our political elites have come to consider democracy an impediment to effective governance, and they are slowly and painstakingly creating all the democratic legalities necessary to abridge our democratic rights with impunity, all to ensure our so-called security. Of such measures do republics fall, and by such measures tyrants emerge. The only thing that really remains is the occasion to test the new rules of the game. Perhaps that will be war with Iran. Perhaps some contrived emergency. Or perhaps as long as the public and media remain asleep. No occasion will be necessary at all. It will just slowly happen of its own accord, and we, like the frog in the pot of slowly boiling water, will just sit there and be consumed by our own turpitude. This is beautifully written. It's shocking. It should be required reading for every citizen before the election. You know what amazes me? I'm not a military man myself, but I immensely, I greatly respect military people, particularly combat veterans. I have very little regard for the bureaucrats in the Pentagon, in that they're no different than pogo stick jumpers in universities. There's an event that occurred not too long ago that nobody talks about but me. And that is the death of 21 Navy SEALs, five men in the Special Forces, and they went down in a Chinook helicopter. 21 Navy SEALs, more than ever died in any other mission put together, all the missions put together. They died under Obama's watch, and we keep hearing about what a great commander-in-chief this fraud is. This peacenik, hippie, communist is considered a great commander-in-chief. They're trying to sell that bill of goods. The counter-argument is, why don't you tell the people about who decided to put those 21 Navy SEALs on a single Chinook helicopter? But it begs the question, who in the Pentagon put the Navy SEALs on that Chinook helicopter? Who made that decision? Who? Why has there been no investigation of this? Why? I want to know. I want to know. Now, I'll tell you, I'm never going to know because there's a gigantic cover-up. How can our most elite warriors, more of them have ever died than in all missions put together, and no one talks about it? How? It's heartbreaking. It gets me sick, gets me crazy, gets me mad, gets me angry, and gets me going. In fact, it gets me so angry that the opening scene to my next novel, which has already been published, it's too late to stop it, called A Time for War, is based upon that event. 21 SEALs go down in a Chinook helicopter in Afghanistan. That's the opening scene to A Time for War. As a matter of fact, it's been published because the publisher put out an advanced edition of the book, that chapter. It was so stirring. But no one's talking about it. A Time for War. That's the novel coming out next spring from St. Martin's Press, who published Abuse of Power. It so agitated me that I made it the lead to my next novel. Now, why do you think the czars of Hollywood will not turn my action novel, Abuse of Power, into a movie and make a fabulous movie? I can think of five guys who could play the lead. Liam Neeson is a little old for it, but he could easily play the part of Jack. I can name five other stars who would be perfect for the role, who would love this movie. I'd go to the movies to see a movie like that. Why? Why do they slavishly worship a guy like Obama when their freedoms themselves are at stake? And I finally figured it out. Doesn't take a genius to figure it out. Because they figure that an ultra-liberal like Obama will have hands off on the pornography and violence that they publish in the form of movies. Whereas an uptight, rigid Christian like Romney might do something about the slime. It's as simple as that. It's business. So in other words, the wild and free Democrats, for whom pornography and violence is currency to keep the people stupid, how do you think they get away with Grant? Let's go to California. How do you think this brown creature who lied to everybody, pretending to be a centrist? I gave him $5,000 5 years ago. I thought he was a centrist. Boy, was I fooled. One of my friends told me he's not really as liberal as he pretends. He's even worse than he was in the 60s. He's a demagogue of the worst order. Governor Brown of California, who pretended to be a centrist, is now rushing around the clock to grant licenses to illegal aliens who were turned into fake citizens by Obama to give them licenses in time for the election. It's fraud. Your ancestors died to protect the ballot box. These demagogues are stealing your birthright. In any other time, they'd be arrested for this. They'd be imprisoned for this. If a foreign government had taken over this country and had put operatives in Sacramento or in Washington, they could not have gotten away with more actions against our freedoms than these guys have gotten away with in as short a period of time themselves. Because even a foreign power that would have invaded could not have done it overnight. They would have had to do it by degree, or else there'd be a rebellion. Remember, there's so many people armed in this country, armed and dangerous and ready to fight. They'd rather fight and die than be a prisoner of these creeps. So they would never, even if a foreign power had seized this government, I don't know how to explain it to you, because all of this is in my novel, in a fantasy form. They could, let's take a scenario together. The Chinese communists took over America. That's a fantasy, isn't it? With Madeleine Albright, Sandy Berger, and others working around the clock, Henry Kissinger working around the clock to make certain that you're dumb about what China has done to this country. These are traitors. In my opinion, every person I just mentioned should be held up on sedition charges. You know, it's one thing to be a legitimate businessman. It's another thing to lobby actively against American companies and against American interests. And those people are traitors, as far as I'm telling you. That is why the jobs went to China. That's why 50,000 factories went out of business. That is why businesses are dying across America. It's because of China. They're destroying us because of men like, shall I name them again? Henry Kissinger, Sandy Berger. There are several others. Several others whose job, whose only job, is to make certain that we, the moron American, are focused only on abortion and pornography. So we don't really know what's going on. And these people pose as American citizens, but they're not really American citizens, are they? They're traitors through and through. And in another time, they would have been held up on charges of sedition. But who's going to hold them up on what charges? You mean the FBI that just investigated Republicans for bathing in the Sea of Galilee? Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot we had oversight there. I'm laying it out for you. I'm not going to sit here and agitate over it. I'm telling you what's going on to the best of my ability. I told you that even liberals, legitimate liberals, understand Obama's a dictator. He has destroyed our constitutional protections. The problem for you is that the press is non-existent in the country. Zero. Doesn't exist. It disappeared in your lifetime. You can blame a hundred different reasons for it. So when you see the Huffington Post publishing martial law by executive order, which I posted on michaelsavage.com so you can read it yourself, when you see even legitimate liberals understand who this man is, you understand what trouble we are in. Now let's go to the callers. Arizona, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
A lot of things, Dr. Savage. And since you have, you know, one of the best research teams probably in the business, I told your screener, I've lived up here in northern Arizona for a little over 5 years, and I lived up here 5 years after that. Before that, I went back to New York, and that's a whole other show dealing with the Elliott Spitzer machine in New York that destroyed me financially.
But what exactly is your main point? Because it's very hard to follow you.
This is what I called about specifically, which is in tune with what you're talking about. I have met in the last 10 years... up here in northern Arizona and in Sedona, a phenomenal amount of alphabet soup guys and special forces guys and gals, investigative reporters whose lives have been threatened from the Bush administration into this administration. And every single one of these alphabet guys resigned from the NSA, the CIA, all of those agencies because they found out what was going on and they didn't want to be any part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can only imagine what's really going on, but I don't think it takes much of an imagination when you take a look at who's in the White House and what he's doing. I mean, it's so naked to people who really have studied history that there's no, you don't even have to be a genius to see it. It's right in front of our eyes, but the people are dumb. The people are dumb. The ice cream lickers. The ice cream lickers. That's all. Well, look, what do you want me to talk about? Let's be cute for a while. Teddy's under my desk. I gave him a bath before the show. His fur is wet. I thought he would electrocute us because there's so many wires. It was so poorly. My broadcast desks are so primitive. They date back to 10, 12 years. The wiring is on the floor. So Teddy is laying there with wet fur on the wires. I thought that he would set us on fire here in the broadcast studio. During the break, I had to pick him up with his wet fur. I wiped him a little bit, and I had to throw a towel on the wires, and he went back on the over the towel. It's a cute little story. Where are you, Teddy? No, he's not there anymore. Even he realized that he was a conductor. Because I was rubbing his fur with my toes while I was talking with you on the microphone as he was snoozing on the wires. And I looked down. I said, holy God, wet fur. He's a good conductor. He could set a, he could electrocute both. If there's a short circuit, both of us could get electrocuted here on the radio show. So that's the little funny things about life. What are you going to do? I mean, I guess living well is the best revenge, I guess. To me, truth is the best revenge. I think everything is at stake. I mean, unless Romney articulates the rape of the Constitution that has occurred under Obama, we're finished. But I, you know, looking at the latest poll that Drudge just published up from Fox News, that's on the top of his site, you look at the poll, do you actually think that the people who are voting for Obama would care? Do you actually think that the people who are Obama supporters would care if he was a naked dictator? No. Even Woody Allen said he wished that there was a dictatorship. I'll be right back on Michael Savage. Savage. Let's move on. I've told you about martial law by executive order. It's a shocker that we are now living in martial law, written by a liberal blogger, published on the Huffington Post website back in March. It scared even me. A new executive order that gives the president absolute power. You say, well, they're not really going to use it. Oh, really? Tell that to the Marine who was just arrested and put into a mental hospital for evaluation without any judicial oversight for posting on his Facebook site some criticisms of the president. You know, this is pretty bad time. These are bad times, so. Or you want to call me on other topics, you can do it. Yesterday we were talking about sauce versus gravy. We're still debating it. Please, I can't do it for another hour. But we have one caller on the barbecue issue, which I can't resist taking. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, just talking about that whole mafia barbecue kind of thing, or a kind of get-together. They really, no such thing would ever take place. I had an uncle who was a soldier in the Genovese family. He's dead, by the way, so I can speak freely about him. And his brother actually was the captain of the crew that they were in, and actually came up with Murder Incorporated, Albert Anastasia. And it's a mafia book. You can even find their names. Because the nature of the business is just cold. I mean, they just don't get together because they really, there is no brotherhood, and there's always the fear that you're being watched. And so a large gathering.
This is how this started yesterday. On the show, I was joking about a barbecue I was thinking of having for Labor Day, and I said they're never any good. I said the only good barbecues I ever see are in cop movies or mafia movies where they have these great barbecues, and I said I don't think they really exist. And a guy called and said, no, you're wrong. I was at one in Sacramento. And so you're saying what I suspect is true. There are no such things.
No. And first of all, Mike, there were hardly any wise guys in Sacramento. I could tell you that first.
That got me a belly laugh. That's funny.
I lived in San Francisco, and I was in Sacramento. Believe me, it's not a place where mafia guys would want to live. So, but no, it's the truth. But you know, as you meet these guys and you see the life they live, I mean, you know, this kind of fraternity wouldn't exist in the first place. I mean, your best bet to, I mean, people might find them at social clubs where they'll drink coffee and they'll have various types of, you know, foods or whatever. But as far as like an outing, barbecuing, this stuff virtually doesn't exist because of the nature of their business and the fact that they really aren't close with one another. These are business relationships, nothing more, nothing less. Just, you know, very vicious.
Intuition that there's no such thing, I'm not missing anything, in other words.
No, not at all. And even if something like that took place, they would be eating the same foods anyone else did. Hot dogs, hamburgers, braciole would be on the grill, sausage and peppers, you know, they'd have macaroni salad, potato salad, steaks. I mean, it would be as American as it would be anything Italian. So, but the
all
idea...
Right, so now here's the last word on the sauce versus gravy. What did you call it when you were a kid? What did your mother call it?
Gravy. Gravy. It's you don't even think about it until someone who has some sort of cultural refinement says, you mean sauce. And you say, well, yeah, I know technically you're right, but Italians, Neapolitans, Sicilians, I mean, it's just Sunday's gravy day. That's all there is to it. That's
well,
the word
I spoke to my friend who owns a restaurant this morning, and he's an Italian from Italy, but he lives in San Francisco. He said, well, sauce is different than gravy. He said he told me that sauce is basically a cheaper version. Gravy is a cheaper version of a sauce. It's quick. It's usually cooked with the renderings of the fat from the meat, and it's made quickly. He said cheaper. He actually used the word cheaper. Doesn't mean it doesn't taste better. It does.
Because there's, you know, home cooking of this has all kinds of tricks that, you know, you use old bacon grease and, you know, to get the flavor out. But it's just, you know, you just say gravy. It's like so a matter of fact. You don't even
I know. I'm going to get 100 calls now from different Italian views, but... So, Mike, your uncle is gone?
Yeah, he passed away in the early 90s.
So if he was alive, you wouldn't have made this call?
I probably would have, because he would have been a guy not interested in it, kind of, you know, this stuff wouldn't be here. But I wouldn't have said openly that he was actually a member of the Genovese crime family, and his brother was actually the captain of the crew he was in, who actually came up with Albert Anastasia and Murder Incorporated. And there's a book, I don't remember the name of it, if you, it's about the Pleasant Avenue Tavern, which existed in Harlem, New York, which was the heroin headquarters of America at the time. And his crew was involved in that whole Pleasant Avenue thing, and they spent a lot of time in jail for heroin distribution and drugs and so on. Then eventually left, got into the numbers business, which is where they made most of their money thereafter. But
speaking of numbers, let me ask you something. Indian gambling casinos, they pay no taxes. How come? Does anyone have an answer to that?
Nobody.
Yeah, here's a question that keeps, every time I hear Obama or the fraudulent Democrats making believe that they're robbing from the rich to give to the poor, they keep saying that the rich should pay their fair share. How come no one ever brings up that Indian gambling casinos should pay their fair share? How come that's unknown, though? Why does no one mention that?
No one, I think, really even cares. I mean, the government has given them a sanction because supposedly, like all other groups, they owe some form of reparation, and this is the way to kind of make up for it. Although Donald Trump has said, and I work for Donald Trump, actually, if you don't mind saying, I have a security guard. I do security work for his company. And he's gone into those casinos up in Connecticut. He says that they don't look like any Indians I've ever seen.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Indians. I think I'm more Indian than some of them.
Well, I do know that, you know, like...
Well, yes,
you
know, so I'm glad Trump has the guts to say it. Why don't they pay their fair share of taxes? That would help balance the budget, wouldn't it? We never hear anybody mentioning it. But, hey, this is a great call. But one thing I'm going to ask you, please, folks, don't call about gravy and don't call about sauce. Please, no more gravy sauce. It's an interesting topic, but we can't do it for 2 days in a row. What's now? Government gene sleuth stopped contagion like superbug that killed six. Government gene sleuths. Yeah, right. Gene sleuths. Over 6 frightening months, a deadly germ, untreatable by most antibiotics, spread in the nation's leading research hospital. Oh, really? The bug, a patient a week was catching the bug? Scientists at the National Institutes of Health locked down the leading research hospital. How is this happening? Where are all of these contagious bugs coming from? Let's start with open borders. Boys and girls, let's use common public health sense. When your great-granny or your great-great-granny came to America at one time, they were inspected for a disease. But you see, to the mayors of today, there's no such thing as disease. They're under the mistaken notion that with modern medicines, virtually every disease can be controlled. Well, it turns out they are wrong. There are diseases that were once annihilated in America that are resurging as a result of your liberal or non-existent Homeland Security Department, as a result of this open border with Mexico in particular. We have third world contagion spreading in the United States of America. Embarrassing, I admit. Embarrassing, I admit, with the Neolithic mentality that's arriving with it. I would say the disease of the Neolithic mentality is even a graver threat to our freedoms than are the bugs that are arriving. But since most of you don't know what Neolithic means, we'll let that fly by the outfield. We'll just let it fly right out of the baseball park. Now, why would the elites want Neolithic immigrants to the country? Why would they want people who are not even literate in their own language in this country? Listen to what I just said to you. I don't mind that a person speaks Spanish. It's a beautiful language. I've read the literature of Spain when I studied Spanish. Some of it was fabulous. Most of the Spanish-speaking illegal immigrants are illiterate in Spanish. They cannot read it. They can't write it. Did you know that? Now, why would politicians such as Bloomberg want as many of those type of folks in his city as possible? Why would Governor Brown want as many Neoliths in the state as possible? Why? Because he can continuously get elected. Demagoguery, which is a cousin of thuggery. Demagoguery is what thugs with power do. Thugs without power are thugs. They're called just gang street gang thugs. But when you ascend to the heady level of a mayorship or to a governorship or a presidency, You're no longer called a thug. You're called a demagogue by those who know what you're doing. And if it becomes illegal to call them demagogues and the FBI arrives and puts you into a mental hospital, as they've just done to a U.S. Marine, why then you know, my friends, what progressivism is all about.